for standing.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us, and we pray that as we consider something of the truth of your word, you would open our hearts afresh. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, do you take a seat? Now, I'd like to ask us all a question this morning, and it's this. What would you most like to know? What would you most like to know? Anybody like to make any suggestions? Say that again. Who killed JFK? I must admit, I don't really kind of toss and turn in bed at night, not going to sleep because of that, but some people may do. Yeah, okay, what else would somebody most like to know? Anybody else got any ideas? I was thinking, you know, our whole city going to bounce back straight to the Premier League? Made a good start yesterday. I know there are some people thinking, what will I get for my exam results? You know, kind of A-levels and AS-levels and GCSEs are on the horizon, the results for those sort of things. What will little Georgia do when she grows up? Perhaps we might be thinking, might like to know. Well, one of the questions, if not the big question of human beings, is how can we know about God? Is God there? What is he like? What do I need to know about him? Well, of course, many people try and guess and try and work out God simply from their own human experience or from what they see around them. Now, the trouble with that is that people then come up with all kinds of false views of God, as those of us who were here last week were thinking about. Now, if we're to know about God, what we really need is for God to make himself known to us. And that is exactly what God has done, according to that Bible reading that we had a few minutes ago from the letter to the Hebrews. Now, you see, what we read from was a letter that was originally sent to a group of Christians, all of whom had been born into Jewish families. They all had a Jewish heritage. And as they'd grown and heard about Jesus, they'd come to believe that actually he was the Messiah that their Bibles, the Old Testament, had promised. But life had become, to say the least, tough. They were finding that they were getting lots of stick and opposition for being Christians. You see, they were facing much suffering and persecution. And the pressure was building. And some of them, as a result, were finding that they were beginning to drift away from believing in Jesus. They were on the brink of giving up. They'd stopped meeting together with other believers. It just seemed like it was far too difficult. So the writer writes a letter to this group and he tries to encourage them. And in a nutshell, what he says to them is, don't give up. Don't just return to your old life. And he considers lots of reasons not to give up, lots of reasons why actually what they had found is the very best thing that can be found. And so he says, look, even if people oppose you, even if there's difficulty and suffering and persecution, stick with it. It's worth it. Now, the letter begins with the main and most important reason for not giving up. And it's also the main truth that helps us to know what we most need to know in life. The main truth that shows us that God is there and that he is not silent. Now, I could tell, as I mentioned, Hull City, that some of you must be Hull City fans. I wonder, anybody here like to tell me how they discovered the result from yesterday's match? Assuming that you weren't there. How did you find out the result? Looked in the paper. Yeah, anybody found out by a different method? The internet? The radio? Television? Yeah, okay. So lots of different ways. And I guess if we get to know something, it's usually because there's been some kind of communication involved. Now, over the past the last few years, we've experienced something of a communications revolution. We've had printing and radio and television, but now millions also have the internet and access to, therefore, vast amounts of information readily available virtually anywhere via a small device in our pockets or in our handbags. But what we read from the letter to the Hebrews shows that our recent communications revolution is nothing compared to the extraordinary communication that God has been engaged in. So we read, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our forefathers by the prophets. You see, God had not been playing hard to get over the centuries. And the people who received this letter knew that God had shown himself in what he had made. So all around us we have a world which has great intricacy and beauty and vastness. And it shouts to us of something beyond us. It speaks to us in some way that there's God. And the earth exists within remarkably narrow tolerances of temperature and gravity and distance from the sun and other things. And so human life is possible. And indeed the human body is the most remarkable thing when you find out more about it. And what's more, all of us have this built-in sense that there's something more to life than that which we can see or feel or touch. Now the people who got this letter also knew that the true and living God had used special messengers, prophets, to speak his message to his people. God had used lots of different ways over many centuries through the big characters of the Old Testament like Abraham and Moses and Isaiah. We were listening to some of his words here last week, all speaking of God and his reality. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but the writer adds, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. You see, in this period of history, as God has shaped it, he has started a communications revolution. God has spoken to us through Jesus. Now, do you realize that Jesus is God's main way of speaking to us and showing us that he is real? Now, it's been popular over recent years for the so-called new atheists to spread their messages that they claim that there's no God. But very rarely do they properly engage with this fact. You see, we can know what we need to know about God through Jesus. God has spoken to his world through his Son. But how is this true? Well, we see in Hebrews 1 that Jesus, first of all, is the reflection of God. Now, I could do with somebody just come and just try a little experiment. Anybody like to come and help me here? Anybody going to come and give us a hand? Who would like to come and give me a hand? Will you come and help me? Thank you. Yeah, just pop out here. Give us a hand. Oh, yeah, I thought you were saying yes. I thought you were volunteering. Well, madam, you can probably help me here. If you look up, you can see something on the ceiling. Yeah? You see, there's actually quite a lot of quite intricate things there, but it's quite difficult to look carefully and see, because you might get a crick neck or something. But if you use this, and then you look down at that, just, you know, in a comfortable way, and just position it, can you tell me what some of the things are on the ceiling there?
No, because I've got no glasses on.
You've not got no glasses on, okay. you don't need glasses, sir. You have a look. You see, the wooden, in the middle of the wooden, there are certain things. Can you see what they are? The faces, aren't they? Yeah, yeah. A lot of people probably not noticed. There are faces, and you can see them reflected in the mirror. Now, I do that because what we're told in that Bible reading is that in a very profound way, Jesus reflects, radiates God's glory, the splendor and the wonder of God. Jesus shows us what God is like. God's eternal Son, the one we're told here in verse 2, God the Father appointed the heir of all things, and through whom also he created the world, became a human being in Jesus of Nazareth. And he is the radiance of the glory of God. From Jesus, God's greatness shines. Jesus shows us the essence of what God is like. Jesus reflects the greatness of God. So Jesus is, if you like a mirror that reflects what God is like, so that we can begin to grasp him, so that we can begin to understand him. But also Jesus is the perfect representation of God's character. So we read here, Jesus is described as the exact imprint of his nature. Now, can anybody tell me what anniversaries we've been celebrating in 2015? Anybody tell me about any of the anniversaries? Been some fairly famous ones looking back in history. And 2015 is something of the anniversary of some of them. Yeah, can you think of one?
Magna Carta.
Yeah, that's the big one, isn't it? There's also been the Battle of Waterloo in 1815. And the Magna Carta was signed in 1215. Well, I say signed, but actually, of course, it was sealed. King John gave his agreement to this new charter of how he would relate to the other people who held power in the land, and he wouldn't have absolute power anymore. Now, back in medieval times, when there was some kind of important document, you didn't just get a quill pen out and sign it. You sealed it. What would happen was you'd get a ring, and a craftsman would very carefully engrave an image on the ring. And then you get the document, pour some hot wax onto it, get your ring, and push the ring into the hot wax. And it would leave an impression. It would be an exact stamp in the wax of what was on your ring. You would know then that the person who'd sealed it had seen the document and agreed to it. Now, I've got a ring here. Amy's going to help me with this one. Now that Amy, can you see that ring? You see it's got a face on it. And I've got something here. It's not hot wax, it's only blue tap. You just get hold of that ring and can you push it into there? Just push it hard into it. That's it. Very good. Now then, we take the ring off and what can we see? Can you see? It's a picture, isn't it? It's turned into a picture. You see the ring, the exact imprint of that ring, the engraved ring, is now in the soft surface, in the blue tack. Well, in a much more profound way, Jesus is the perfect representation of God's character and being in a human being. Jesus is the exact imprint of God's nature. So if you want to know what God is like, the question that humanity has asked from the beginning, look at Jesus. If you like, we can say that God is Christ-like. So Jesus then is God's main way of communicating with us. He shows us what we need to know of God. He reflects God's greatness and shows us just what God's character and nature is like. But our reading tells us something else as well that we need to think about before we finish in a moment. And that is that not only does God show himself in Jesus, that God reflects Jesus and his greatness, but also Jesus is the one who cleans people up so that we can be fitted for God's presence. We read, after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. You see, the big problem that we human beings have is that we've all of us, turned away from God. And that means that we don't recognize the obvious reality of God because, as the Bible puts it, our minds are darkened. We don't think straight about God anymore. And that's why we need him to show us himself in Jesus. And that we have turned away from God means that we are spiritually unclean before him and unsuitable for God's holy, pure presence. But wonderfully, God hasn't left it like that, because if he had, then none of us would ever have any prospect whatsoever of having anything to do with God. But God has sent Jesus to show us what he is like and also to provide the cleaning up that we most need. Now, I'm sure that after our service today, a lot of us are going to go and have a meal in different places, I guess. But I don't suppose you'd want to eat off that plate, would you? You wouldn't want your dinner eating off a plate like that, that's mucky and got all sorts of horrible stuff on it, that's dried and as kind of... you just wouldn't want to do that, would you? I mean, it's awful. Well, in a small way, that's a reminder of the fact that us, in our uncleanness, in our sin, we cannot be acceptable to God. But Jesus has come into the world, and he came with a particular job to do. And that was that he came to clean us up. He died on the cross in order to provide what it says there in that reading is the purification for sins. So when Jesus died on the cross,
He took all of our turning away from God. All the times that we've ignored God. All the times that we've had nothing to do with Him. All the times that we've failed Him in particular and specific ways. And He paid the price for our sin. He made it possible for God to be just, to be remain true, not just to pretend that we haven't turned away from Him, but genuinely to deal with our sin so that we can be actually clean before God. We can be made acceptable to Him. None of us would mind eating off that plate. Now it's absolutely squeaky clean. Well, that's what God does through Jesus, who died on the cross for those who put their trust in Him, believe in what He has done, and turn back to Him. And of course, the whole ceremony of baptism points in the same direction. It's a symbol involving water that cleans us up on the inside. Now, it's not that the baptism itself does the cleaning up. That is only possible as God does the cleaning up through what Jesus has done on the cross. But it's a symbol, a sign of that reality. After making purification for sins, Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. So Jesus, God's eternal Son, is now ruling the world with God the Father. He's upholding the universe by the word of His power, the reading says. But before He took that position, He made purification for sins. He dealt with sins. And when we turn back to Him and rely on what He has done, we too can be cleaned up. So what we've seen here is a great encouragement if we are Christian believers. Do you remember the message of this letter is don't give up. It will be difficult at times. People will misunderstand us. We'll go through hard spells in our lives. It might well be tough, but remember Jesus and what He has done. Remember that Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God, like a mirror reflecting God to us. He is the exact imprint of the nature of God in a human being. And also, He has made purification for sins, fitting us for His presence. But if you're here this morning and you're still, if you're honest, thinking it through, trying to work out whether God is real, what the truth is, well, what this reading says to us, what God says to us this morning, is look at Jesus. Read one of the Gospels. They're all available on the internet. Look at the Be Thinking website that's mentioned there on that blue notice sheet. Take it away with you. You'll see the web address. And that answers a lot of the questions at different levels that we all ask. Maybe come to something like a Christianity Explored session that we run here at Ferriby Church and ask questions about Jesus. Because Jesus is God's ultimate way of showing us what we really need to know about life, about ourselves, and about God Himself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that in this period of history, this epoch, You have spoken to us through Your Son. And we pray that You would give us all open hearts and minds to Him. And we ask for His sake. Amen.